Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. What it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now.
Wonder what you tell me now.
Fire, fire.
need a color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody. Well, see, we need, wake up, everybody. We
come
need,
on, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. All your teachers start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children, teach the baby,
teach the babies,
teach the children,
teach the children,
teach the baby,
teach the children,
teach the baby.
They're the one who's coming out.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. Just grateful and thankful for this 10th day of October 2022. Just thankful that God allowed us all to see yet another day. Grateful and thankful that he allowed us to recognize, know, and understand it had nothing to do with us, but all by his grace and mercy. My name is Tammy Storr, and I just want to welcome you in the mighty name of Jesus, and thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for being here early and being a part of that number where two or more gather together when we call upon the mighty name of Jesus, that we know he'll be in the midst, and we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing each and every one of us, even in our opening prayer, ushering him in to all that we say, do, and touch tonight. I just want to thank God once again for allowing each and every one of us the ability to be able to go through this workday and be able to declare and decree whatever it is that we were seeking to uncover, seeking to do, seeking to accomplish, that I pray that it was considered done. And I just thank God that as we go through this next hour, that you have come ready and prepared to receive a word in season as we speak about oneness proves your love. And I just thank God as always for giving me the ability to usher in the Holy Spirit, to pray his presence in with us, for him to take over our mouthpiece, for him to be with each and every one of us. For those of you that desire to be able to speak tonight, if there is something that you desire to share tonight, we want to just offer you an opportunity to come and speak about your oneness and how it does prove your love for one another. Just press 1 on your phone. You will be placed in the host queue at the appropriate time. Minister Jesse will open up your mic, give you an opportunity to share through transparency. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, we want to just say thank you. Thank you for the privilege to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence tonight. We welcome you, and we ask that you take over our mouthpiece, that you be with us, give us an understanding of everything that we need to do. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you will continue to help each and every one of us be all that we can be. I love you so much, Father God, and I know if it had not been for your grace and mercy, I don't know where I would be. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would go and be with each and every one of us and just order our steps. And I just pray tonight that for those, Father, that are not 100%, Father God, in their bodies, that you would heal them. There are others, Lord God, that are going through bereavement. They need a healing in their heart. There are others that we know, Lord God, need a restoration in relationships. And I just pray that you restore all the relationships that are being destroyed by the evil one. I pray, Lord God, that we all come to understand that Satan is there to steal, kill, and destroy everything in his path. We have to be stronger, wiser, and better than he can ever be to be able to fight him off, and fight him off with your word, Lord God. Let us get your word in our spirit and in our hearts, and let us be able to understand and know, Father God, the importance, Father God, of using your word, Father God, as our shield, and allowing us, Lord God, putting on your full armor so that we'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. As always, I pray for every marriage that's represented under the sound of my voice and all of those throughout the land, Lord God, that you have strategically put together. We know it's your first institution, and I just want to say thank you for every marriage that you put together. Let us continue to understand and know that anything worth having is worth fighting for. And we know, Lord God, every time we turn around, Satan's trying to enter in and bring havoc upon our marriages. But we come against you right now, Satan, letting you know you're a defeated foe and you don't deserve to be in any space of our heads, our minds, our families, our homes. And we come against you right now. We want to also say thank you, Lord, for allowing all of us, Father, the opportunity to be, Father God, entrusted with the children that you blessed us with. Bless them, Father, in their goings and comings, and protect them like only you know how. Today, Lord God, I thank you for all of those that have come, Father God, to hear a word in season. single, looking for their soulmate, hoping, Lord God, praying that you're going to send them their way. And I thank you when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, Lord God. And so let the women, Lord God, understand that they can't have their head down and not looking up for them to be able, Lord God, to know when God is sending a strong, powerful, God-fearing man their way. So I pray for every relationship tonight, Lord God, that wherever it is and wherever they desire to be, that you will be in the midst to bless them. I want to personally say thank you for the awesome man of the hour, Minister Jesse, for being my husband, my soulmate, my friend, my workout partner. And I pray, Lord God, that you strengthen his body, encourage him today. Give him the ability, Father God, just have it in his heart and his spirit to work out more, Lord God, and do the things that he needs to do, Lord God, to continue to allow his body to be in good health, Lord God. We know he's battling, but he's just battling. But we know, Lord God, trouble don't last always. And so I pray tonight that whatever it is, I've got in his heart and his spirit that he desires, that you would bless him with it, Lord God. Heal him like only you know how. Go and be with each and every one of us, Lord God, until we're able to see you face to face. Bless, watch over, and keep every individual under the sound of my voice that desires to speak tonight, that they will speak out with confidence, Lord God. No fear, Lord God, because we know you don't give us the spirit of fear, but thank you for the power, love, and sound mind you give us. You said in your word, study your word, Lord God, to show ourselves approved. Let us not only study your word, but let us meditate on your word day and night to be able to understand and know what you desire for us to do on a daily basis. I love you so much, Lord God, and I thank you for the understanding and the learning that will come forth tonight. Let us go and be able to share it with others. Let us go and regurgitate it at the appropriate time. Thank you for the simplicity and understanding that shall and will come forward on this evening. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Amen. One more time, let us say amen. We praise God and we thank God for my queen, as she said, my best friend, that's vitally important in this day and age, in this world, that we be friends, great friends, best friends. And we thank God for that because he is also worthy to be loved. When we think about oneness, who's your love? We live life under constant pressure to prove the things we say with the actions we take. I mean, some believe that at some point in the existence of man and woman, we do not have to prove our love for each other. It was evident and genuine. However, there's a problem with that statement. When was that time? When we read the word, when was there a time where there was not some conflict between man and woman, just like there was conflict between men and men and women from the beginning? Even when we hear the story of the original disobedience, there was a man and a woman trying to figure out how to out-finagle God. We know that that just cannot happen. But see, love is both a noun and a verb, and is the one thing missing in most marriages that fall apart in the current dispensation. Why and how do we fall out of love, or were we in love in the first place? See, a lot of times we're not in love. We are infatuated with something. Perhaps if you are a man, you were just infatuated with her beauty, with her body, something about her body, with her legs, with her breasts, with her butt, who knows, with her eyes. But it was something that seemed to captivate you. So you never moved beyond that. So you never grew the infatuation. And so because of that, you really never were in love. See, being in love is something most people never really experience. Some say they do, but in reality, they never do. I know some may say, well, how can you say that? Just look at the number of divorces that take place and the reason why people get divorced. Some of the reasons are so weak, it's really pathetic. And so love requires multiple layers of proof of the love concept in the first place. Now, we know that the Word says that God is love. Think about that for a moment. God is love. But at the same time, we know that a loving God demands a level of obedience and adherence to his precepts and principles. The same holds true in marriage. That when we make that commitment one to each other that we read about in Genesis 2:24, that's a serious commitment. That's a commitment that some say in the vernacular of the street, you've taken yourself off the market. You're no longer available. See, quite naturally, we should evaluate what layers are in the multitude of layers that comprise what we call marriage in the first place. Because now more than ever, we live in a time that demands we prove our love to each other. It's really always been that way. But now more than ever, women are being pulled into unhealthy thought processes and consciousness by women who oftentimes are single. They themselves are not even married. Yet they're going to give women all kind of advice on what to do in their marriage. Men, let's not get it twisted. We're the same way. How many men do we know have friends that are single and you are giving credence or taking some element of input from men that themselves are not living a life where they're married? So it may be difficult sometimes to take advice from either one of those sources. See, the problem oftentimes is that the so-called proof is measured in material things regardless of the socioeconomic capabilities of the people involved. Meaning, we sometimes hear people make statements about how much they want their ring to cost, or how big a ring they want in marriage, or how massive of a wedding they want on the day that they're being married. Yet if we really think about it, what is the value of that ring? I mean, that value is really predetermined by someone other than yourself. Because when you truly love each other, you could take a rubber band and let it be symbolic of the love you have for each other. But since you are able to do something more than that in your own mind and in your own social economic capability, you buy the very best that you can. And oftentimes we know that may be an issue because one or the other may think, oh, that wasn't good enough, because they had a friend that had a stone much larger, a much better quality than the stone that you have. See, this so-called proof of material things creates a bunch of layers, or they are generated by a bunch of layers. And we have to analyze some of these layers to figure out, am I being impacted? Are we being impacted by other things, other realities that have been real in our lives that now we're trying to separate and saturate and pull apart and analyze so we can get to the point of being able to strategize on what we can do jointly to make this thing work and to make it better? You know, there are many areas, family, that I can think about that cause us to have this hesitancy, I guess you could call it, and being willing to put everything on the line for marriage. Think about it for a moment. You have two people coming together in marriage. The integration of the background and experiences that each would have experienced in life, while sometimes it could be similar, most of the time it's different. It's not the same. Their life has been different. Their relationships with their parents have been different. Their relationships with their siblings have been different. There's a lot of differences that come into play that make it more complicated and sometimes more difficult for them to come together. In some marriages, you have to deal with the integration of blended families. Could be, as early in our case, one party may have been involved in, and as a teenager, had a baby, got someone pregnant, and all of a sudden, life changes, perhaps at a time and in a moment of space where one or the other are not really ready. And see, I think because the woman, Tammy, oftentimes is the one that's carrying that child when they're young, she probably becomes mature or is forced into maturity a lot sooner than the man. I'm not trying to get a man a pass. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, I mean, it's on a woman. She can't walk away from it. She can't separate herself from it because her whole body is changing. Her whole perspective is changing. And so a man has to be unique in his approach to that and understanding that at the same time this is taking place, it will be very beneficial to the child and the mother if the man was responsive. Because, see, as I mentioned, when I was 18 and that happened to me, it creates what we call today the blended family. And these are families that come together where the man and or woman may have a child or children from a previous marriage or a previous relationship. Now, most of the time, the children are going to get along. It's not going to be a big deal. They're not going to make a big deal out of it. They're going to do everything they can to enjoy their brother or their sister, and that's the way it should be. And I praise God that for the most part in our life, in our relationship, we've been able to see the value in the blended family, because oftentimes many people never see the true value of the blended family. How you can learn something from this family, learn something from your own family whenever there is a tragedy or there's a conflict that takes place. We also sometimes have some challenges in finding that oneness or that proof of oneness, that beautification is based on the demand of vocational excellence and skill development. Is that sometimes when we come together, one or both, or in the flows or in the paths of their lives where they're attempting to carve out and create what we call a career path. And what are they going to do for a portion of their life the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? That can be very difficult. Make it difficult for us to understand that that person is still in love, even though they may be involved in things that appear to be unloving. Number four, the demands of offspring growth and development. At some point in time when you come married, you want to hear that child. You want to be blessed with the child. And you want to be able to, for lack of a better term, put your imprint on that child. And that sometimes makes it very difficult for the world to understand the love concept. Because if they really knew about the love concept, every time a child is born, there will be tremendous rejoicing. There will be tremendous satisfaction because we do have nations around the world that should not have more people, or they should have more people, but in some places they artificially count the ability for women, men, husbands, and wives to have children. And so it's a beautiful thing we have here in America. Yet we know now, even with Roe versus Wade, some are saying that's too harsh of a penalty to increase the production, and especially where some believe that it's a way that whites will be forced to increase their level of production, because it's always been the case, it appears, that people of color, they're going to make more babies. The per capita average babies per couple, married couple, is truly higher amongst blacks than among whites in America. And then when we think about number four, the man that's put on the family of the offspring's growth and development. So we have these children. They go out into the world. They do great in the world. They bring back home oftentimes challenges. They bring back home oftentimes situations that are taking place that you got to deal with, and you got to deal with the right kind of finality to the issue, but also with a level of the right kind of empathy to the situation as well. Those two are highly critical, and they go together. You can't do one without the other. And then the role of time and financial development in the marriage. When we think back about time management, I mean, we think about financial wherewithal and financial management. Sometimes one or the other of the parties may not have a good concept of savings, may not have a good concept of believing that God will make a way and could bless you to do anything you so desire. And so sometimes they may come into the wedding, and then from the wedding into the marriage, from the marriage into the reality of married life, and they're just spending money, spending money, spending money. But they haven't learned, they haven't adopted the spirit of adoption as it relates to money. We're going to take a short pause and come back, and we want to look at some of the examples of what takes place and why sometimes it's difficult for us to achieve this oneness. Why is it so difficult for us sometimes to seem to be out in left field, that every other couple, every other group of people can find oneness, but we just seem to have an issue with it all the time? It's just something that I know we talked about before. Why is it that we seem to have this challenge for oneness, that we just can't seem to understand how vitally important it is in order for us to be successful, in order for us to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, to be able to tell each other what we do? But oneness will indeed prove your love more than anything you could ever imagine. We'll be right back after this beautiful song, "I Will Always Love You."
If I should stay, I would only be in your way, so I'll go. But I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
God be the glory. Yes, I have to say, I must agree with you when you talk about love requires a multiple layer of proof of the love concept. It's so important for us to understand where we are first in order to know where we must go. And so I'm just so grateful that tonight, as we speak about oneness proves your love, you know, it's more than just saying, I love you. It's more than just being present. And that's all, is just being present in a home with your spouse. There's some things that we must do. And when I think about, you know, some of the things that you discussed, and when I go on down and I think about even the layers, Jesse, because when we think about the layers that present some of the obstacles we face in our efforts to show and or prove our love to our spouse, I mean, there are things that we must do. You know, it's more than, as I indicated, just saying, I love you. We got to put some action to it. It literally is the willingness to lay down our life if we're willing to do that for one another. But unfortunately, we already know that so many people, instead of laying their life down, they run in those situations. And I just pray that God gives us strength and he gives us wisdom and understanding what to do and how to know that he's in the midst of helping us be that spouse that's willing to lay our life down for one another. And once we get to that point, we'll all be able to experience oneness in a whole nother level. You know, we must do what we can to eliminate, you know, this perspective if we know that there's any way that there may be change that must come. We have the ability to make that change come too. We must change the narrative, and there's things that we can do. One thing that, Jesse, when we think about it, a couple things I would just like to kind of ask a couple questions. You know, what keeps us from really supporting the concept of oneness? So many talk about it, they want it, and they can't wait to get married. And once they get married, they, unfortunately, their minds and their bodies start straying and going in a different direction from their spouse, and they don't understand and know why it's happening. But, you know, a lot of it, Jesse, is from a lack of work. We got to work on everything. It doesn't matter what it is. You have to work on your marriage. You got to work on understanding who your spouse is. You have to work on knowing that there is some give and take, and you got to go do things with your spouse to help you be that individual that's going to just show so much support. So how much support are we really giving? Are we allowing ourselves to support in a minor way or in a major way? When it comes to our spouse, Jesse, we got to learn to support more, because that lack of support is causing us the challenge when it comes to the concept of marriage. So if you want to support your marriage, and you got to understand what it means to really, truly love your spouse like your own body, like your own self, you know, not understanding exactly what it means to be in one, this can cause confusion, because one spouse can give of themselves so much to the point where they have nothing else to give, where the other spouse is so lackadaisical, they're not doing anything. And that is where it causes so much stress and so many challenges in the marriage. When I think about 1 Corinthians, Jesse, 16:14, it tells us everything should be done in love, done out of love. If it was, it would allow this topic tonight to be able to go so smooth, and we would only have to just talk about love. But we know reality is it's not. However, we can change the narrative, and there's a few things that we can do to change the narrative, Jesse. We can, you know, make sure that we allow our spouses to be our first priority. How many times do we put our spouse on the back burner, and we're doing everything else with everybody else, but then we have no time and we're too tired to do things with our spouse? So let us not forget about our spouse. Let us make them our priority each and every day. We also must understand that we must seek oneness, you know, through, you know, the marital intimacy. Because so many of us have, once we got married and once we feel like we have children, that intimacy goes away. And we got to understand that that is such a important part of our marriage, that we have to do our part to make sure that marital intimacy stays in place no matter what. And then, Jesse, when I think about, you know, what are some of the other things we can do to change the narrative? You know, are we looking to become a blessing to our spouse? Are we looking that when they walk in the house to welcome them with open arms and a kiss, and or vice versa, whichever spouse is away and coming in? That is so crucial. That is so important. You know, how many are you walking in not even speaking to your spouse? That becomes an issue. So do your part to make a change in what you're doing. Because when you think about it, you know, the Word of God tells us in Psalms 143:8, it tells us, tell me about your faithful love, you know, come morning time because I trust you. Show me the way I should go because I offer my life to you. You know, those are the things that we want to do. We want to wake up in the morning knowing that we can trust one another. We want to be able to go about our day just showing one another how much we really are there to support each other. And if we do that more, we will understand better by and by the importance of oneness, how it proves our love for one another. And then, Jesse, sometimes I think about, why do we allow other relationships to have leverage over our oneness? I mean, sometimes I ask myself that, even sometimes I know I find myself in there. There are times when we are allowing the battlefield of the mind to confuse us. You know, God is not the author of confusion. And we got to understand and know that our spouse comes first. I mean, we understand the order. It's God. Then it's definitely our spouse, our family. You know, then everybody else comes in line. But some of us have that twisted. And I think the sooner we can work that out and understand that in our mind and understand what our responsibility is, the better off we will be. Because we don't truly understand it at times. And then in order to appreciate oneness, that is going to be a key element. And then when I think about, Jesse, the relationships and how we are looking at other people and trying to do everything, sometimes in a given day, you just can't do it all. And you got to understand that there is a union between your body, mind, and spirit that we know God reflects, you know, as God's nature for us as spouses. And that's the thing that has to be amongst the forefront of everything that we're doing. And I just hope and pray that the unity between the husband and the wife, that we allow ourselves to be anchored one to another, where we're steadfast, unmovable, and nothing is going to come between us, not even the friends, not even other relationships that may be out there, whether coworkers, whether might be even siblings, whatever it may be, we have to know and understand what we are standing tall, bold, and strong on. And then I ask myself sometimes, Jesse, what evidence can you present? What can we present that we are guilty of love for our spouse? Because so many of us, there's not a lot of evidence that we're able to present. And it's because we've given up on doing our part to make sure that we treat them with utmost respect. You know, when I think about it, it's, you know, when we treat our husband or our wives, are we treating them the same way that you're treating someone that you truly love? I mean, so often you can go out in the streets and treat someone better than you treat your spouse. Are you telling your spouse I love you? Are you giving your spouse a hug in the morning? Are you calling your spouse and letting them know how much you love them? Are you sending them a note every now and then just to say, baby, I was thinking about you, I love you? I mean, that proves to your spouse that you were thinking about them in their absence. And I think that is so important, and I think we need to do it more than we have in the past. And I think it will help us out to show more affection, you know, because so many times we're ashamed to even show affection around our own children, around our own family members, and God forbid, out in public. But the more we show that affection, whether it's in public or at home, around our family members, it gives us the ability to really express how we truly feel about one another. You know, and then it gives us the ability to understand that Mark 10:9, which tells us, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then when I think about John 15:12, it says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. I mean, are you loving like God has loved us? If you're not, you might need to step back and reevaluate. You might want to ask God, to give you an opportunity to be able to express more love to your spouse, to give you that opportunity to be able to walk in the oneness that spoke about in his word. It's nothing that Jesse and I are saying that you have to do. It's what God has said in his word that he wants you to do. And then I thank God for Luke 6:31. It says, do to others as you would have them do unto you. That's been my motto for so many years. So I don't want to just go around and express so much love unto you, Jesse, and then you not express any back to me, because I'll feel like there's just nothing there. And if I feel as though there's nothing there, then it does cause an individual to turn and walk the other way or not want to be in the presence of that spouse. So try to do your part to make sure you're reaching out, to make sure you're doing whatever you can to show the love, to prove to your spouse that you desire to be in that oneness that proves love. And you got to do more than just saying it. You've got to put some action behind those words and allow that love that God created between the two of you in holy matrimony to allow it to flow and come forward. And so I'm just so grateful and thankful, Jesse. Just a few things I wanted to share just to help us all understand that we have that ability if only we allow ourselves to go above and beyond doing what just the basic is. You know, we don't believe in just the basics. We got to go above and beyond the minor and the little things. And I hope and pray that tonight is a night that you understand that your spouse is so important and that you love them unconditionally and that you will start doing your part to show and express more love.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. And I guess really what I can say to that is that assuming you are both guilty of proving your oneness, or in the case for maybe most of us, we need additional growth and development. Whatever the case may be, there are some acts of love that you can follow for the balance of this year. We now have a little less than one quarter of the year left, with more than 9 months have already passed, and time is not waiting on us. It seems to be moving at warp speed. I remember looking forward to getting these ages and thought that maybe we'll have a chance to slow down a little bit. But those days just don't seem to happen. You know, I joke, Tammy, a lot about getting a nap. I still, even at our age or my age, I have not perfected the craft of getting a nap. I'm still working on it, still trying to get there. But we want to offer some ideas that you could perhaps begin to deploy with your spouse in an effort to really prove the concept of love. All right? We want to just say we want to prove the concept of love. Number one, pray with your spouse and not just pray for your spouse. Listen to me again. Pray with your spouse and not just pray for your spouse. There's a difference. You know, there's nothing wrong, and you should continue to pray for your spouse. But when you're praying for them in person, where you both are hearing each other praying for the other, something else happens. Something else takes place. Or when you pray for them and you send them a word, you send them a text, you send them an email, you leave them a phone message, whatever, where they know they're hearing your voice speak to them, they're seeing your words speak to them, there's something powerful about it. Share your vision and your dreams that have not been accomplished and where you need their support to make it happen. Don't be unwilling to share. Don't think they can read your mind. Be willing to open up and share with them those things where you need their help and you need their support. Number two, ask them the same. What would they like to accomplish before it's time to go home to the Father, and how you can assist them in satisfying those goals and whatever their visions may be. So it's a bilateral situation where you sit down and you share your bucket list, so to speak. You share those things that you want to accomplish, those things that you want to get done. And you are also then willing to hear the bilateral response, those things that spouse may want to get done. Some people like to travel. They may want to go to another country. They may want to go to the continent of Europe. They may want to go to the continent of Africa, perhaps to the continent of Asia, wherever it may be. You can help them by ways of saving money and going with them. But ask, what is it? Number three, write it down and make it plain. Habakkuk 2:2. Write it down, make it plain so your spouse can run with it after receiving it and give whatever support is necessary and needed by your spouse to achieve their goals. And then to renew this as often as possible. If sometimes you got to punt on a dream you have, it's okay to punt. If you got to delay it, it's okay to delay it. You just restructure your goal-setting process. Restructure those things that you desire. And don't make it difficult on yourself, because God can always understand. He just wants to make sure that you don't give up the focus. You don't give up the intent. You continue to do everything you can to move towards the mark of the higher calling that he's already set before you. We must learn to do these things. See, we call this marital leadership plan, where you have a plan of action. You can have a personal leadership plan, but you also need to have this marital leadership plan where you both know there are things you desire, there are things you want to accomplish. And by working together, there are certain time segments and certain time segmentation periods where you have to be patient and know and understand, okay, I want to do a certain thing. I want to experience a certain thing. But right now, God is saying to me, there's something that I need to do differently. There's something that I need to have patience on. I don't need to rush this, because if I rush this, it's not going to come out as well as it would if I would be patient. There are so many examples that you can use in your marriage. There are so many things that you can look at that God would say, hey, it's just not time yet. And if you would be willing to be patient and hold yourself, God would bless you more than you could ever imagine. Now, as we get ready, Tammy, to move out of here tonight, because we shared a lot very concisely, but I believe very effectively on this marital leadership plan and ideals that our listening audience, those that are live tonight and those that are listening in the archive, can use in the application of their relationship. And again, part of that action plan is based on the proposition that oneness proves your love. And so some of the things, in addition to what we just shared, number one, look for on purpose opportunities just to be nice to each other. It is not easy maturing and changing, even though it may be occurring at the same time. I know, Tammy, you just went and put on a coat because you was a little cold. And while you was putting on that coat, I was over here having a little hot flash. I mean, sometimes in our marriages and our relationships, we both can be going through the same time, but we get them ahead of us on a different time. So almost sometimes the time zones are not in alignment. Well, we have to learn to be flexible and to accept these realities, that if certain things happen to us and happen to our bodies, as we're going through the process of loving our bodies, we have to know and understand we still must have the ability to give a little flexibility and understanding to our spouse. Number two, we mention this because it goes with almost everything we will ever minister on. Always forgive and look for reasons to forgive by thinking on the good things that you have experienced in your relationship. Always apply Philippians 4:8, that you think on the good things, those things that are going to be of good report, that are going to be edifying. According to Proverbs 4:29, that the words that come out of your mouth will build up. They will edify. They will not tear down, because you have been given a mouth of wisdom that the enemy cannot gainsay nor resist. Think about it. If you have a mouth of wisdom, that every time you speak, wisdom come forth. And we thank God that he has given us that great ability to speak with wisdom, to speak prophetically. And so we always need to look for reason to forgive. And then number 15, we must forgive, and forgive again ourselves. Ask yourself, have you become perfect in the eyes of God? Now, come on, let's be real. Do you walk before the Father in full righteousness? Then if not, forgiveness for you is just as conditional. You must remain in a conditional state. That's why you must have a heart of empathy, even when you feel your spouse has just crossed the line. This is, oh, they done just got on my last nerve. You have to find a way to be empathetic. You have to find a way to be used by God to bring them back to their common senses, because sometimes, literally, they have lost their mind. And we have to be that agent, that conduit. Be willing to make that sacrifice, be that sacrificial lamb to say, okay, I'm going to take the bite. I'm going to take the bullet. I'm going to take the hit, because I know it's more important to win this war. I know it's not as important to win this war as it is to save my marriage. And so I want to encourage all of us, look for ways to be nice. Look for ways to edify. You know, look for all of this and always think on the good things that God has made available to you. Well, Tammy, I'm going to turn it over to you for the next few minutes, and then you can close this out. Praise God and thank God for his grace and his mercy for such a time as this.
Amen, Jesse. To God be the glory. I just want to leave our listening audience with just a couple powerful scriptures that God just placed on my heart. One is Ephesians 4, 2, and 3. And if we just do some of these things in these next few scriptures that I'm going to give you, it's a start to where we need to be so that we can enjoy, you know, when we talk about oneness proves your love. We want to make sure that the love that God created between the union that he put together in holy matrimony, and some of us many years ago, and, you know, today I was out and I was about, and a gentleman, you know, when I walked in, he said, oh, I love your ring. You know, it was just over a course of a period of time that we were talking, and it was a group of us. And I said, well, thank you. And he said, how long have you been married? I said, about 27 years. He said, wow, 27? I said, yeah, 27 years. And I said, not only married, I said, but happily married. I said, I must say I have been happily married for 27 years. I said, we've had ups and downs, but for the most part, very happily married, happy and married. And so not all people can say that, and I'm just grateful and thankful that God gives me that ability to know where I am in the relationship that he put together between you and I, Jesse. But one of the scriptures that I wanted to remind us of is Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, where it says, conduct yourselves with awe, humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. I mean, that's a powerful scripture. If we get it in our hearts and if we get it in our minds, it will do something for us and to us. And I know that God will give us the opportunity to do the things that we will continue to do to be in that oneness that he desires. And then Proverbs 3:3 tells us, don't let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Bind them on your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And if you do just these few things, I promise you, you're going to be on your way to oneness where it proves your love. And you're going to be able to experience something you've never experienced before. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, thank you as always for just giving us this opportunity to share through transparency and just giving a few nuggets, Father God, on oneness proves your love. And Father, I just pray that each individual under the sound of our voice is able to go out And Father, be able to just even study this word and dissect this word even more. Do the things that they need to do to help make a difference, not only in their marriage, but be a blessing to others in their marriage as well. Whatever it is we stand in need of, Lord God, I pray that you meet us in our time of need. Give us the ability just to love on each other like never before in the manner in which you loved us, Lord God. So I want to say thank you for the love that will be shared between each and every one of our listening audience and their spouses, our spouses-to-be. Go and be with us, Lord God, until we see you again, until we see you face to face. In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Agape love.